the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In the first epistle reading, it ended with the words, "Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse." St. Paul, of course, wrote that epistle, and he had a very vivid example before him from his own life, and that was St. Stephen the Martyr, because he was present before he was a believer in Christ, persecuting the church, and he was there watching everyone's cloaks while they stoned St. Stephen, and he saw St. Stephen, who was being stoned by these people, praying for them and asking that God would forgive them. Christ himself on the cross did the same thing. He was, as he was hanging on the cross, said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." So, and St. Paul certainly would have heard of that example as well. So he had two very vivid examples of what it means to bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. That's what we're called to do as Christians. The verses that follow the epistle reading expand on what this means. "Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil by good." A couple comments I want to make about the rest of that passage, and that's that he points out that if it's possible, as much as it depends on us, we should live peaceably with all men. If we have a strained relationship with someone in our lives, we should ask ourselves, is that relationship still strained because I'm unwilling to make a step to reconcile that, or is it because the other person is unwilling? We have no control over anyone but ourselves. But if we're the ones why that relationship If we're the reason why that relationship remains strained, we need to ask God to give us the grace and the humility to seek peace with that person, because that's what we're commanded to do in Scripture. Repay no one evil for evil. That's what we're tempted to do. When someone does us wrong, we want to do them wrong too. We want to pay them back. But St. Paul says, "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but give place to wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." There are a great many injustices in the world, and we have to believe that God will right them, and that we have to give room for God to take care of that. But also, we shouldn't just be sitting back praying that God will punish our enemies, but we should be instead praying that God will be merciful to them and that they would repent. But of course, if they don't repent, then ultimately they will experience the wrath of God. But that shouldn't be what our goal is. We shouldn't take pleasure that any person would be lost. Instead, we should be praying like St. Stephen did, that those that were stoning him would be saved and that God would forgive them. And St. Paul, think of all the many people who have become Christians directly because of Paul's ministry, and then furthermore, we have so much of the New Testament that we owe to the pen of St. Paul, and yet it was through the prayers of St. Stephen that St. Paul was given the grace to meet Christ on the road to Damascus, because Christ could have appeared to anybody. He could have appeared to Pilate or to Caiaphas, but for some reason in God's providence, he chose to reveal himself to St. Paul, and we have to believe in all likelihood that that was a direct response to the prayer of St. Stephen. And so, while St. Stephen in his flesh might have had a temptation to wish ill of those that were treating him the way that they were, he chose to rise above that and to see things the way that God sees them, and to see these people as lost souls in need of the mercy and grace of God, that God wishes to be saved. And what a wonderful thing. that St. Paul was saved. And in heaven, St. Peter and St. Stephen are not on opposite sides of heaven, still angry at one another, but they're joined together in Christ. And that's the attitude that we should have towards those that have hurt us. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Well, when we hear those words, we shouldn't be thinking, well, there's one Christian way that I can get even with them, is I can heap burning coals on their head, and that's some way of getting back at them. That's not the point of that passage either. What the Father says is that when we do good to someone who has wronged us, the burning coals are the coals of shame that they feel when they realize how they have treated you and see the way that you've treated them, and also the warmth of the love of God that they experience through you, and that what we hope will happen is that God will soften their heart, and that warmth of the love of God will soften that heart and bring them to a warm love back for you. That's the goal there, not to have some sort of a backhanded way of getting even. And you never so perfectly win over an enemy than when an enemy is sorry that he was ever your enemy in the first place. If you're able to accomplish that, you've really accomplished a great thing. There's a famous Chinese book on strategy that talks about, it's called The Art of War. You've probably heard of it. But one of the things he talks about is the really smart general is a general that never has to go to battle, but wins his enemy over by some other means and doesn't have to go to the great expense and cost in treasure and in blood of actually defeating his enemy on the battlefield. And so we as Christians should try to win our enemies the smart way, by love and winning them over to where they come to our side and they are sorry that they ever were on the other side of the equation. And the passage ends with these words, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." If we are consumed with bitterness because someone's hurt us, we haven't overcome evil, we have been overcome by evil. If we allow the evil that other people have done to us to make us evil like them, to where we wind up behaving the way that they behave to us and treating them the way that they treated us, then we haven't overcome evil, we've been overcome by evil. But if we love our enemies, we bless those that curse us and do good to those that hate us and pray for those who spitefully use and persecute us, we will be sons and daughters of our Father in heaven. We will save our own souls, and in many cases we may be the Stephen through whose actions and prayers Paul is saved. Amen.